Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. The topic tonight will be ye ready. I suppose it's always, down through the history of time, been let's just say man's been interested in the future. The fascination and the mystery of what will be, the uncertainty of it has made men always want to know what it is. There has always been men that tried through various means to find out what it was, or wanted to believe that they could somehow know. Always gave high honors to people that they thought could do it. People flocked around people that pretended to do it. There was always an interest in trying to find out what's going to happen to me. What's the future going to be? We still hear names like Nostradamus and there's still soothsayers and people of the ancient world that made predictions, and every once in a while you'll see on the front news pages that so-and-so's 100-year prediction come true or something like that, and our minds always go to that, to want to read that did they really get it right or whatever. It might be there's others that flips cards over, other people aligns planets. There's all kind of ways that people want to try to find out what the future is. In the Bible, there was kings that sought the prophets to find out from God what their battles would be like, because obviously if you wasn't going to do so well, you wouldn't want to try it. So if they wanted to know whether the end of this was going to be right or not, and there was times that God, for His own glory and for in His own will, cracked the door open to the mystery of time and let men look through the portals for a little bit to see maybe a glimpse of what might be. But for the most part, that's not what the Scripture tells us to do. What the Scripture tells us to do about the future is be ye ready. God has purposely limited us. I suppose He could have made us a creature that was able to see into time, but He didn't do it. He didn't want us to do it. It would cause a lot of problems for us, probably, but God has the all knowledge of that is in God. I don't really believe about all those other things, although I'll have to admit I don't understand all the mysteries of things, but I don't believe that they had much insight into things. I think there's, if you say enough, you'll be right sometime. Okay? And so the key to that is to say a whole lot of things contradictory to yourself. Even if I predict enough people will win the next presidential election, I might be right with one of them. But I don't think there's any ability to see into the future other than what God owns of the future. But the key to it all is for us to be ready. That's what God really says for His people. Be ye ready tonight. Be ye ready in your soul. Get ready and live for God and be ready. Because honestly, none of us knows what the future might hold. We're shocked by the future all the time. We don't know what it might be. Be ye ready. Let's look at a scripture. Over in Luke 12th chapter. Thirty-seventh verse says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make himself sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants." And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also. The ready also has a reference to the fact that you don't know what hour he'll come. And so it says, therefore, because you can't know what hour he comes, or we can go into a lot of other things, I don't think it's hurting this scripture at all to do it, that you don't know a lot of things that might happen in your life. You don't know what circumstance may come into your life. You just don't know what might happen. So therefore, because you don't know those things, be ye therefore ready. You don't know what will alter the way you think. Well, many times us humans, we think, as one brother said to me just a while ago, people are strange critters. Well, that for sure is true. But we think we own everything and that we can do everything and we control everything about ourselves. The fact is, you don't. And the fact is that you may say, I really want to be saved before I die. I'm not saved, but I want to be. But you have no way of knowing that you'll feel that way tomorrow or next week. There's a lot of things can change that, the way you think about it. If the Holy Ghost deals with you, you no doubt will think that way. You'll have that desire at some time. But if the Lord pulls back on you, there's no promise that you'll feel the way you feel in your youth or middle age. You may go on and dismiss God altogether in your thinking. You may not be warm to His fires anymore. You may not care about it at all. That's why it says, therefore, be ready also. As if the thief's coming. As if the thing is coming. Well, honestly, all of us folks really ought to live a kind of life that the Lord's going to come back tonight. That's what the Lord says. The blessing is if you're watching when He comes, that you've got it all taken care of. I didn't go to bed on my wrath. I took care of it. I didn't go to bed with unforgiveness in my heart. I didn't let it linger or take care of things that I should have took care of. I took care of them so I can be ready, because I don't know when the circumstance may come that might change my life altogether. And I don't know. I'm not in control of everything in life. And it can change a lot on us. So therefore, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Be ye therefore ready, because we don't know. He can come at any point in time. But with that, your life can be over at any time. Or bad things can happen at any time. I'm reminded of something that happened in my hometown not too awful long ago. There was a couple men coming back from work. They worked in the coal mines. It was in the wee hours of the morning. And they was coming home. The Route 20 going south. The road wasn't much traffic on the road. There hadn't been any storms or anything. They were just driving along. The speed limit on that road is about 55. They probably was doing 55 or so and coming along. There was a couple other people from the mines behind them coming. No traffic hardly on the road. And they was driving down the road, and there was a giant oak tree on the road bank. And the oak tree, half of the oak tree broke off and fell. And they're coming on an old kind of abandoned highway with not much traffic. If you can get the scene of this, dark, wee hours of the morning, two people in the truck coming along, and the tree falls right down through the cab and kills these men instantly. Falls right down through. And I, one time, don't have the numbers on me, but just for curiosity's sake, I calculated what they was doing, if they was doing 55 miles an hour, and how many feet per second they was going, and how fast it would have been, and how accurate that was to fall that way. And had they been going that speed, they would have covered 20 feet in less than a quarter of a second, something like that. And the space that they in was a couple feet. You can narrow that down to a very fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And it nailed, it come down so precise through there that it hit them, not before, not after, come right down through there. It messed with the psyche of that community. The people around that wasn't even mindful of God or those kind of things, I talked to some after that, they were so bothered by such an event like that that they were saying things like, that bothered me. There had to be God or something. And something was, I don't know about the men and I don't know what the things was, but I just wanted to say that things like that do happen. That was hard to try to understand. Nobody can see the future. Nobody can dodge a tree that falls like that. There's nothing that you can do about it. The exactness bothers my mind, but the idea that rings into my head always about that, and when I think about my own life and the near calls that I've had and things like that, there's not the great desire to say to the Lord, Lord, would you allow me to see the tree before it falls? Or Lord, let me see the future. Would you warn me? Or do something like that. But there's a desperation in there to say, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be able to be ready when that moment comes and my time appears. Help me, Lord, to be ready, for that's what it's really all about. That's what's going to really be important at the end of it. I hope that these men were ready. I hope that that was the blessings of the Lord for their eternal life. I don't know how to say anything about it. Of course, I didn't know them that much, but that actually happened and was hit so exact. Maybe it was the Lord's way of saying to those that are around, be ye therefore ready. Be ye therefore ready. Another story that I'm reminded of, there was some men in a coal mines in Upshur County, West Virginia, the Sago Mine. They found out later that what happened was that lightning, they said more than likely, lightning struck and hit their railway that went into the mines, caused an explosion in the mines. There's a number of men on the shift that day in the mines when the explosion happened. And a group of men in there, they have what's called self-contained self-rescuers on them. And it's required by law to have them. And what they do is that they simply change carbon monoxide into carbon dioxide. That's all it does. Carbon dioxide won't kill you, so you breathe through this and it filters out the poison, but you still got to breathe through it enough to get your oxygen because it's just a conversion, and it will only last a few minutes in a smoke-filled environment, and it gives people time to get from a certain place to a certain place, and hopefully there is a safety within that time, and it's required to do it. That's my best understanding of it. I used to have to wear them all the time when I was in there. And the explosion happened. There's a number of men there. And there was a man in there. He was a minister. And when they seen the situation, the minister said to the men in there, this is it, men. We can't get out of here. There's no way to get out of here. And they all agreed, the older men agreed, there was one man in the mines who was a young man and had a young family. And all those men gave that young man their self-rescuer so that he could pack and go as far as he to give him a chance. And the minister said to them, boys, this is it. Would you all agree with me in prayer? This was told by the young man that happened to survive, that they all gathered around, and the man prayed for their salvation, and they prayed for their salvation, knowing that the moments was ticking, and they wasn't going to make it very long, probably coughing and spitting and hacking, as they was doing. The man takes the self-rescuer and makes a run for it. He didn't get too far before he collapsed, but he collapsed down. And when they come into the mine and found all the dead men, they ended up going somewhere towards out and found this man who was unconscious but alive. And he was unconscious for several weeks, if not months, before he come back. And he's alive today. And he was rescued by their unselfishness with that. But I think about one man that was ready. Now, of course, I can't attest to this man's life or the quality of it or anything. But I'll tell you one thing. It come down to a place that he knew the only thing left. He was ready. Boys, it's time. God has called us to the end. You need to be saved. There was a man, and possibly, and we hope this to be so, hopefully 10 or 12, 8, I don't remember the number, hopefully there's these men in eternity at their last time because a man was ready. He had lived his life for God, and he wasn't in tragedy. He wasn't whimpering and crying. He said, boys, we come to the end of time. It's ready to get ready. Time to get ready. Lord, help us. Be therefore ready. For you don't know the time or the hour. It's a mystery that no one can ever know. You don't know what might befall you. You don't know what situation may be. Have you ever come to a time? Listen, we're emotional creatures. I like to think that I'm strong enough of fortitude to just do anything and still have enough mind to do what I need to do. But have you ever got so strained with life and so hard in life that you tried to pray and you couldn't? You ever get so worn, so hard that you just, the pressures were so intense that you were trying to get on, do something, and you couldn't hardly do it? Well, I've been there before. It's good to have something before you get there. Because there's times that you don't know what else to do. About the best thing you can say is, Lord, help me. Have mercy. I don't know how hardly to get a hold of you. I don't have the strength or the mind of hardly to do it. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us. Be ye therefore ready. I want to look at another scripture. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, very familiar scripture. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, this is the first verse, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. We speak often of those that are indifferent about their souls or they're ignorant of the their souls that the, or never been contacted by the gospel, or we reach out to those with the gospel that you can be saved. And we many times that can be the focus that we are preaching and saying, be ready. You need to get ready for your soul. If you die in your condition, you're going to be lost. And the Lord died to save you, and we reach that message out, and well, we should. But you know, there's a message to us too. Because life happens with us too, and we can get pretty indifferent about our own salvation. We can get pretty slothful about our own salvation. And I want to tell you something. We can get so used to the mercy of God on us. I'm telling you, the Lord's been so good to us. We've been so blessed, so used to prayers being answered, so used to the Lord's protection and blessing on us, that we can just take it for granted that the Lord's going to be there and take care of all of our problems and do everything. And well, He does. He's been a good God to us. But we need to be ready. You need to tidy up. You need to make sure that you're in the place that you ought to be. You need to make sure that the things, I know Brother Sammons used to say, I got a hold of this one time. He said one time he come home from trips and stuff and he preached us a little message and he said, you know, sometimes you just need to come. You ain't like a big sinner or nothing or sinned or anything like that, but this happened in life and you had to deal with it and this cluttered this and cluttered this. He said it's good for sometimes to just come up to the Lord and to come to the altar and just get it all cleared up. Just come up and have a good season. And if you feel like, Lord, help me. If I have done anything, just repent. It's like you can work, you know, mark on this board enough, it kind of gets dirty. He said sometimes it just needs washed clean again. Just get some water and clean it up again. Be ye ready. Whatever it takes. So there's 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, they were ready. That was the point. To be ready. When the bridegroom comes, I want to be ready. I don't want to have to lack anything. I want to be ready. So when the bridegroom came, they that was ready went in with him to the marriage. And then the fearful words were said, and the door was shut. Now I want to tell you something. It's like the old Noah's Ark. There was a song that said something about Noah hurry and shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. And there's a reason why Noah didn't shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door, Noah can't open it. Noah shuts the door, maybe Noah can open it. But when the Lord shuts the door is shut. And the door was shut. Well, we are interesting critters. And another interesting thing about us critters, us human critters, is the fact that we don't have much of a concept of anything that's not tangible in my hands at the time. Whatever the moment is we like to live to the moment. And it's really hard to put out, and as I said the other night, it's why people start smoking and drinking and abusing themselves, because it's fun now, and it's hard for you to relate to 30 years from now. Or to say that 20 years from now makes the difference. And I know I've told this before, but when I was a young man at home, a young grown man at home, I got up into my upper teenage years. I love to plant things. I still do. I like orchards, and I like to fool with trees and raspberry bars and all different kind of stuff and fruits and vegetables and all that. But when I was growing up, I wanted some fruit trees at home. And so I went and would look at fruit trees, and they would be nice looking trees and all, but a lot of times they'd be $15 or $20, which was a lot of money to me. And I'd look at them, and what would always get me was this little sticker on them that said that they would bear fruit in like 7 years. And when I looked at that, I'd say, "Fruit? $20? And I ain't gonna get none for 7 years? 7 years?" 30 years later, I'm still saying, I ain't saying that now, but I'm saying I grew, about 30 years later, I was still saying, 7 years? It's just too long. I could have had those trees grown and drink, I had fruit off of them for years and years and years, had I planted them, but we're funny creatures about that. It's hard for us to look very far into that. And if you're going to go to heaven, heaven is the distant place that we're going to get to go to. Maybe not so distant for some, but distant to it. But it's distance to our lives. Be ye ready means that be ye ready honestly means that I've got to do things for that place. Right now I can get the gratitude of all this stuff. But if I'm to be ready means I'm going to have to lay that stuff aside. I'm going to have to lay that stuff down. There was some wise, and if you take the definition tonight of wisdom as being the ability to see the end of a matter. That's what wisdom is. I can look and say, this action is going to cause this reaction. It's called wisdom. I know if I do this, that this is going to happen. The Scripture says, the wise man said, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of a hand will bring you to poverty. That's wisdom. You looked and said, here's the action. You're sleeping and laying around. You're not going to have your garden in. You're not going to have fruit. You're not going to have anything to sell. Being lazy doesn't work. Wisdom will say that. Wisdom will also say, if you don't get any oil, you won't have any. Wisdom will say, if you don't take care of your attitudes, they're not going to be taken care of. Wisdom says, if you don't get close to the Lord, you're not going to be close to the Lord. Wisdom says, if I don't have faith now for the little things, I'm not going to have faith for the big things later. But wisdom's going to tell us that if we're going to do this, that now is the time to prepare for tomorrow. It ain't talking about worried and anxious thoughts that we shouldn't have. The Lord will take care of the sparrows and all that things. But folks, let's go to the ant. And He prepares for the winter. And that's what we're supposed to do. Get ready. There'll be a cold time happening in your life. There'll be some hard things happening in your life. There's going to be things happening in most everybody's life here that's going to stretch you to the limit of your faith in God. You better be ready. Yeah, and there's going to be a time to where you're going to have to come down and face the fact of what your life has been and where you're going and what you're going to be. You're going to have to face all of that. And the Scripture says, be ye therefore ready. Be ready to meet God. Remember another story, Joplin tornado hit. I remember hearing this little excerpt on a radio. Somebody had recorded this. The Joplin tornado hit is a very destructive tornado. If anybody don't know about it, it was an F5 hit on a Sunday in May in Joplin, Missouri, and tore up about a third of Joplin. The Lord was great in that. I want to say this, there was 157 people I think died. Maybe there was some died after that. But there was a lot of people died in it. But there easily could have been 5,000 or 10,000 people killed in that thing. It was amazing. Some of the things that happened during that proved that God had mercy on people. And they were telling these stories. These people were telling these stories about what God had done for them. And one of the accounts was this man was saying that he had got caught outside his house and he was running for his house as this tornado hit. And he was running for the house and he threw the door open and he said that there was a jug of milk and the jug of milk come flying and hit the door. The door went back and pinned him behind the door. He was trying to dive into his basement and he couldn't make it, and the door slammed him against the wall and pinned him in the corner, and there he is, wedged in between the door and the wall. And when the tornado was over and he pushed the door open, the only thing left of the house was the corner and the door and him behind it. And the whole basement had fell in with the house. You will talk about somebody that said, thank the Lord. I don't know if he was religious before that happened, but he was some kind of religious after. Something happened there. That's called the mercy of God. That's called the mercy of God, folks. Thank God for His mercy. We need to take those merciful times and get ready. God will be merciful to us. He wants us. He loves us. He wants us to be saved. And He'll show us this mercy, not for us to get despondent about, but to get ready with. This man has a new lease on life. That tornado almost got him. But he's got some time now. Lord, help us to be ready. Another account that was a beautiful account. There was a man and his daughter got caught out in their yard. Wind was blowing, about to blow them away. The little girl down and her dad, big light guy, got over top to hold his daughter down as the tornado come by. And the tornado and all this stuff whipping around. And now they're right in the middle of this thing. And this man said that he was literally trying to dig his hand toes into the ground to be able to hold on with the force that was trying to suck him out of there. And he testified then. He said that, I don't know how I was able to hold on. And his little girl that was on her back under him and he was shielding said to him, well, Daddy, I know how you did it. It was the big butterfly on your back that held you down. You figure it yourself. But she's seen these big wings and she was convinced, Daddy, it was the butterfly that held you down. All right. Sounds to me like the Lord was in that. That's called mercy. That's called mercy of God. So there was a guy, and he was in a freezer somewhere. They'd all abandoned to the freezer, and this was the little excerpt on there. He didn't know anything else, didn't sound like. Some of you may have heard it. But right in the intense moment when they all thought they was going to die, you hear a voice said, "I love you. I love you guys. Hey, all of you, I love you. I love you guys very much. I love everybody," he said. Well, he didn't sound like he knew much, but one thing he knew, we're supposed to love everybody. And he was getting some love real quick. I love everybody, whatever it was that is holding on. Folks, listen. That man hit a very valuable truth about our Christian walk. Don't wait till the tornado has you pinned down to try to love the people that's around you. Be ye ready. Do it before it happens. Be ready because you don't know how you may feel later. Be ready tonight. I don't know what's in everybody's life here, of course. God knows, you know. God wants to deal with everyone. But God wants you to be ready. The trick to living for the Lord isn't to know the future. It's to be ready for the future. In God, be ready. Be ready. And today I'm ready. And if the call didn't come today, be ready tomorrow. And if the call don't come tomorrow, you be ready the next day. The Lord did it on purpose, folks. You can see it plainly in the Scriptures. He wanted His people to live a certain kind of life all the time, and that life was to be ready to meet Him. And you may live ready for 50 years, but you'll still be ready. And if 50 years is cut to 25, you'll be ready. Or 10, ready. 5, ready. A year, ready. If it ends tonight, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet you, Lord. Whatever that you want, I'm ready. Lord, help us to be ready. Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, the first verse, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What an awful thought that there is times and places of sudden destruction. I was called one day on a beautiful sunny afternoon. A phone call came to me, and the phone call was, Brother Marty, we need prayer. Uncle Danny has fallen in the yard, and I think he's dead. And that was a shock. I'll say to you, I have no ability to judge those that go on. I say that tonight. But I'll tell you of a man that come to our services over and over and over. He was a good man. He come to the service. If anyone ever said, is there anybody in here that's not saved, that wants to be saved? I guarantee you he was one of the first ones to raise his hand. He come faithfully to our meetings and things. But he made a few moves toward God, but he never really got serious with me. He always wanted to, but there were some things that just held him up. Big things that he had let into his life. Not small things, it meant life change. To do what the Lord wanted him to do was life changing. And he struggled with it. And so one day he walks out as a chew at the back in his lip and walks out of there without a profession of the Lord at all in his life. And walks out and falls over and has a heart attack and dies that quick in his yard. I was asked to do the funeral. And I'm telling you, I don't know the ways of the Lord. I said many, many times. And I prayed for him many times. And I thought it was surely if anybody would get a deathbed experience, A time that he knew he was dying to deal with the needs of his soul. And to be a man that put that much into it. But in my experience, folks, it seems to be the opposite. It seems to be the one that goes the longest and puts God away and puts Him to a side and puts Him to a side. It seems that's the one that goes suddenly most often. I don't know the ways of the Lord, but it happened in this case. I thought surely this man would have a deathbed experience. He didn't have. He got took out in a moment. A very quick moment of time, he went out. Again, I won't presume to judge a man's soul. But by all account, he wasn't ready. What a fearful thing. And sudden destruction. They say peace and safety. I got time, you say. You say I got time. It happens to others. It's always happened to others and never happened to me. But that's what they can say before it happened to them too. And over and over. This man had a brother. The brother, as far as I knew, lived a sinful life and never had anything for God at all. And if Brother Carr was here, he could attest to this. He was the pastor. And this guy come down and had a deathbed experience and had one of the sweetest, best testimonies of salvation. The Lord had mercy on him and he was wonderfully saved. And was ready to go when his time came, as far as anyone can tell. Be ye therefore ready, because you don't know the hour that it might come. Be ye ready. Well, this is an old gospel message. This thing has been preached through the ages of time. Be ye ready. I'm sure it was said way back at the beginning of time when they was saying, oh, brother so-and-so just stepped out in front of that chariot and got run over. Oh, brother so-and-so, they caught him and threw him to the lions. You don't know. You better be ready. Right on down, I'm sure at the beginning of the foundations of this country, as we modernly we know it, and there was people that said, you know how old brother so-and-so slipped and fell off the deck and was gone to sea. You know, over and over, this has been told over and over because the reality of it's there. You don't know Scripture. Oh, let's see. And what Proverbs 29? First verse. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, that sounds like an awful judgment. But it isn't God not being merciful. It says that after being often reproved, comes again and again and again and again. You turn it down again and again. You harden your neck to reproof. You harden your neck to the gospel story. You harden your neck to those old songs and those old things. You harden it and harden it. Shall be destroyed. And that without remedy. Nothing left. I want one more scripture in closing. Be ready. In the book of Acts, the 24th chapter of Acts, you can read this whole story. I find Acts a fascinating book. 24 and 24 of Acts says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, as I said before, many of people have said, I have every intention to getting saved. I've had people tell me that. I'm not saved, but I have every intention of being saved before I get out of here. I have every intention of living for the Lord. That's a foolish notion. If you could save yourself, that might be a truthful statement. But you can't save yourself. You can't deal with yourself. You can't bring salvation to yourself. And if the Holy Ghost don't do it, you don't come. It takes God to do it, and God will do it in His time and not yours. God's merciful and He wants us. He'll meet us. But there's no way that you can run through all of your life dismissing every move of God on your heart and say that you can feel it at the end of your life. You may never want to be saved. But he felt it at the time, and he trembled because of this preaching of Paul, of reasoning, the reasoning that he had of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. There's going to be a judgment feeling coming on you. And he shuddered. He trembled. He shook at it. And that's the time to do something about it. Lord, speaking with me, you know if I come tonight, you're not ready. The Lord will speak to your soul and know you got stuff in there that you wouldn't stand before me with. I want to tell you, in that day, a molehill is going to be a mountain. Everything that ever was you feel is going to enlarge itself before the great holy God. And you're going to know the piercing eyes of Him for whom we had to do. And you're going to know that He's going to see through you all the way. And if there's things that ain't covered by the blood, it's going to stand out like a mighty stain. And he trembled. And his solution was, as many of ours are, what is this going to cost me? He was in a place of authority. What's it going to look like if I turn to this Christian religion that we've so condemned, that's so lowly, that's put down so much? If I turn to such a thing, what will that mean to my status, my friends, my things? Is that not the way we think? Am I going to look that as weird? Is people going to accept me and all those kind of things? Of course it is. Be ready. You know, we shake that off, don't we? Yeah, it may cost me that. It may cost me a few friends. But the Scripture also says that who giving, no one that ever gave up houses and lands and all these things, who of them ever did and not receive 100-fold in this life and life eternal? All the Lord will pay more than ever. But Felix trembled and he said, there'll be a convenient time. And I want to tell you today, when you turn down the time the Lord deals with you, there will never be a convenient time. There won't be any time that'll be better. Well, I'll get all my ducks in a row. I've had people say all kinds of things. I aim to get serious after I make $1 million. I aim to be serious after I do this or after I do that. I aim to get serious after my children's raised. Well, no, that's a bad time. You do it first. That they need it too. I'm going to get serious after I get married. Boy, you just blew that one. You need it before you get married. I'm going to get serious with the Lord after I get through my teenage years. Oh, Lord, you need Him too much in your teenage years. There's too much that can go wrong. You need the Lord. Be ye ready. Listen, there's nothing can go awry here. Be ye ready. Make sure that day by day, the first thing that I have accomplished at my day isn't that I finished my workload, that I didn't do this. The first thing that I should do is take care of the needs of my soul and be ready and let my life fall around the fact that I have been made myself ready to meet my God. There is a Scripture that says, prepare. We have it in our songbook. I think there's a song that says, prepare to meet thy God. Yes, it comes from a Scripture. But the Scripture isn't just talking about, well, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to go get this and ready. No, that actual verse talks, it's a battle call. And in that verse, it's actually a trembling, fearful battle call, because what it's saying is that you ain't been ready. And now the call comes to say, prepare for battle. And fight your God that you wouldn't serve. You wouldn't serve Him? Now prepare yourself for battle. Are you going to stand before God? Get ready for battle. You turned me down in this life, and now let's battle for the next one. That's the intent of that Scripture. Prepare to meet your God. You won't win that battle. You lost it. So Lord, help us. Be ye therefore ready. It's the solution. It's our Christian solution to knowing the future. Commit the future to the Lord and be ready. And now, it doesn't matter what the future is. Come as it may, I've got it fixed. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.